Thanks for downloading this show from PC One. Before we get rolling, here's a word from one of the folks who helped bring you this podcast.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He started in a small town in Texas. Worked his ass off to become one of the most famous wrestlers of all time.
We're going to take care of business tonight, and that's the bottom line.
And now, he's dominating the world of on-demand audio.
And he's doing it for the working man.
This is a damn good outlet for me to spew the bullshit off my brain.
Yeah!
This is the Steve Austin Show. Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California today. I am over here in Marina Del Rey at 317 Gimmick Street with a microphone in my hand and a laptop computer in front of me reading about the common cold on Wikipedia. God damn, I ain't had a cold in I don't know how long. Probably got to be a couple years. I don't get colds. But I'll be a sumbitch if I ain't got one bigger than Dallas. Kind of set in a day ago. Nose started running. Throat started getting a little scratchy. All of a sudden, my nasal passage is all fucked up. I ain't got no fever. Don't feel bad. I just don't feel great. And my nose won't stop running. I ain't never used so much tissue in all my life. And here's the thing. I'm on Wikipedia. Here's what it says about the common cold. The common cold, also simply known as a cold, is a viral infectious disease of the upper respiratory tract that primarily affects the nose. The throat, sinuses, and voice box may also be affected. Signs and symptoms may begin less than 2 days following exposure. They include coughing, sore throat, runny nose, sneezing, headache, and fever. People usually recover in 7 to 10 days. Some symptoms may last up to 3 weeks. And those with other health problems, pneumonia may occasionally develop. I ain't got time for no goddamn pneumonia. 7 to 10 days, my ass. I'll be over this cold in 3 to 5. I'm going to beat the goddamn norm. I'm the toughest SOB in the history of the WWF, and that's the bottom line because I said so. Here's the thing I'm looking at. When I go over here to this list of things on the side and some of the things that I just read to you, usual onset, 2 days from exposure. All right, I got to play detective here. Who exposed me to this goddamn cold? Shaking hands the other day in Home Depot. Could have been somebody there. Maybe I grabbed a doorknob after somebody. It could have been there. Maybe I was talking to someone and they coughed on me or sneezed and I inhaled and got a couple of germs in my lungs and that started spinning up that virus. Shit. I ain't got time for no goddamn cold. Shit. I got a podcast to do. Talking about all kinds of shit with my wife today on a podcast about the headaches, hassles, and horror shit of getting our house put back together over at 316 Gimmick Street. I'll tell you what, this podcast is probably the last time I talk about my crib because I've been talking about it for the last 6-7 months on the remodel process and now trying to get the furniture put back in the thing. I mean, it's just almost like I'm starting to beat a dead horse, and I ain't going to do that. But I will be goddamn if it's a hard thing to do is find furniture and all kinds of shit. So there'll be lots of that in today's discussion. I'll be ranting and raving about some of the things that piss me off about Los Angeles or the things that just piss me off in general and some of the things that make me happy. You'll also hear my strategy for some of the things that I do when I go to the doctor so that instead of hearing bad news, when the doctor tells me something, I hear good news. Anyway, it's all a bunch of bullshit here today, man. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to talking to Johnny Mundo here in a couple of hours. As I record this open on a Monday afternoon, Johnny Mundo is headed over here in about 2 hours, and we are going to talk about his new movie. Yeah, Johnny Mundo came out with a movie. I'm looking forward to talking to him. I'm going to watch his damn thing. It looks exciting. It looks very fun, and we're going to talk about it. I called John up, and I said, hey, dude, I said, I know we're on for 7:30 p.m. tonight, but I want to let you know that I have a cold, so I don't want you to roll in here, and, you know, I can give you the knuckle bump. I don't want to shake your hand or nothing, but I don't want you to sit across from me, and if I'm talking and spraying shit on you, I don't want to get you sick. He goes, hell, Steve, I ain't worried about no cold. I said, well, shit, bring it on, and let's podcast. So I'm fixing to turn my computer on. John sent me the movie we're going to talk about. I'm going to shoot from the hip and tell him what I think about it. And from the clips I saw, the highlight reel or the trailer, it looks pretty goddamn fun. It looks real fun, as a matter of fact. And Johnny looks good in the movie. And it looks great. It was shot great, so it got a lot of production value out of this thing. Johnny Mundo, you're going to hear the whole story about how this movie came to be right from Johnny's mouth, because he told me this story the other day, and I was like, God damn, that's a good story. And he tells it well, and it's a straight-up shoot, and that's what makes it even better. So I ain't got time to fuck with this cold. I'm going to close out this box on the computer and move on down the road. I got to turn this movie on and watch it so I can talk to Johnny and get the 411 about it. Dude, he put his whole shit on the line to make this movie. I'll give you a little thing right there just to hold you over till Tuesday, and you'll get the scoop on it. But anyway, again, today on the podcast, I'm shooting a breeze with my wife. We're working on a bunch of things. It's all good. I got Johnny Mundo coming up Tuesday. Ted Fowler 361 is coming on this Thursday or the next Thursday. Y'all have been asking where Ted Fowler 361 is. He's down there in Rockport. Goddamn, we're still friends. I just sold a damn ranch, and everybody's been asking about him. So I talked with him a while ago. We're going to do a podcast, shoot the breeze about some of the old days and all the shit that he's got going on now. Hell, see how the dating scene is going on down there in Rockport. I want to talk about the UFC 210 show. I think it's 210 coming up this Saturday. Pretty damn good card. I want to discuss or break down that card with someone in a future podcast. So maybe that will be the Thursday podcast. Maybe it'll be me and Ted breaking down that motherfucker. Two guys. Shit, I've been in a couple fights. Ted's been in a couple fights, but we ain't never been in no octagon, and we ain't got no business in no octagon. So maybe we'll just break it down like the working man would. But let me stop this rambling and get on to this podcast. And I got to give you guys a heads up and tell you this. Mother's Day is 3 days away. It's 3 days away, people. And you don't want to be standing there empty-handed come Sunday. So get your ass online and go to Books.com and take care of all the moms and important women in your life. I know the sending flowers online ain't always easy to do. Sure, you get hooked in with that $19.99 advertised price. But then when you get to checkout, the price suddenly jumps to $100, and that's because of all the shipping, handling, and special care fees they got added on. Well, here's the solution, Books.com. Books are farm fresh flowers that can last up to 4 weeks. They're cut to order and are always fresh and guaranteed to last. Books flowers start at just $40, so they won't break your bank either. And when I say $40, I mean $40. Ain't no hidden fees. Ain't no special care and handling fees either. What you see is what you get with the Books. And right now, if you register at Books.com and use my promo code Steve, you'll save 20% off your order and receive a free weekday delivery. So register now at TheBooks.com and use my promo code Steve to save 20% off your order and get free weekday delivery. That's promo code Steve at TheBooks.com.
Hey everybody, it's Shaq. Have you had a chance to check out the number one podcast on Podcast One? That's right, The Big Podcast with Shaq. Me and my co-hosts John Kincaid and Rob Jenners, we have a blast. With way more than just sports, we have the biggest guests from entertainment to the NBA.
Dwight, let me give you some championship advice. Let it fuel you, but never let it piss you off. Because you are a sensitive baby.
I am. I think all big guys.
I know you are.
The Big Podcast with Shaq, with a new episode every Monday at PodcastOne.com.
Steve Austin, Unleashed.
All right, everybody, just a bullshit session today, sitting here talking with my wife. We're over at 317 Gimmick Street. Hell, the remodel got completed, and now my wife saw fit to book the landscape people to come over and pull up all our grass and put down new grass. So the guys got the yard all chopped up out there with a pickaxe, pulling all the crabgrass out of there. And I just wanted to go in and out of the house because it's brand new and not track a bunch of shit in. But my wife decided that we needed new grass. And we did, because all the grass got killed from all the tools and the shit that's been on it for the last 6 months. But I told my wife, I said, man, maybe it'd be a good idea just to hold off and let's just get settled in, moved all back in here and get organized for a couple weeks, get all chilled out. Then have guys come over and do the goddamn yard. But she said no, she wanted it done now. So, Kristen, the question is, why couldn't we have waited just 2 or 3 weeks while we still continue to get sorted out, get everything organized, and just kind of chill before we get some new grass?
Well, we should have stayed over here for another 2 weeks, but you were so anxious to get into the house. So now we're living with contractors and are practically in our bedroom every single morning. So
I see how you did that there. You just flipped it right back on me because it was me that says, God damn it, we're going to move back over here to 316 Gimmick Street.
You were tired of 317 Gimmick Street.
Well, this place is a little claustrophobic. But here's what, I think, Kristen, what I'm going to do, I'm going to turn this thing into like my man cave.
And that's a great idea.
I'm going to turn it into a recording studio. I'm going to be all official over here and just put all my shit, all my signs that we brought back from Texas, some of the stuff that we've been scrapping around going to these auctions and these antique sales, the stuff we've collected over the last 10-12 years, I'm gonna hang up in here and it's gonna be my man cave.
Can
I do that?
Your big man chair in here too.
This whole motherfucker is gonna be full of lazy boy shit. Because goddamn, man, we've been searching for all kinds of shit. I told everybody, Kristen, on the podcast that we've been looking for some reclining sofas, reclining couches, whatever. Because I wanted just a big-ass man chair. But y'all said, no, that ain't going to look good in that nice, fancy new living room we got. So I can't get me a fucking man chair. And I had a bunch of people sending these emails to questions at steveaustinshow.com and say, hey, man, be careful about the reclining sofas. They're a piece of shit. They'll break on you. Don't get one. Stick with a regular couch. Now, I got a question to ask you. We got two reclining couches at the ranch. We had two, and they conveyed with the cell. You pull that little lever on it, and the damn legs kick up. We didn't have a damn problem with those sumbitches at all.
But we're trying to find
the electronic kind.
Right, but they're just so ugly.
Well, I mean, they ain't the best-looking things in the world, but when you're in a triple wide in South Texas in the middle of nowhere, it ain't like we got a bunch of people coming over to see our shit.
But we did.
it was all family and friends, yeah. And everybody loved that shit.
Yeah, you're right.
And it was comfortable.
And everybody ran to get the first seat on the recliner side.
Well, I'll tell you what, Nate, let me segue off this. This is one thing that pissed me off. I had I don't know what brand chair it was you bought me for my birthday. Was it Lazy Boy or
it
whatever?
It was a Lazy Boy.
Okay, a Lazy Boy.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about a Lazy Boy. Man, them some bitches are comfortable. And mine was pretty plain looking. It didn't fit in with the rest of the furniture, the rest of the crowd, but that was my fucking chair. Don't sit in my goddamn Lazy Boy. And so I had my remote control set up there. I had my little place where I keep my drink, right there by the hearth of the fireplace, and that was my spot. And there was just a few select individuals every now and then that would come down to the ranch. Of course, they were invited. And I'll be goddamn if the first thing they didn't do, just if I wasn't up, because I always like to stand up a whole lot, unless we're watching football or UFC or WWF on a pay-per-view, I like to stand up. But when it's time to watch some shit, I'll sit down on my Lazy Boy. And just because I'm not sitting in there, they go over and sit their ass in my fucking chair. Kristen, you remember your dad?
Yes.
And he had his chair.
Yes.
Did anybody sit in his chair?
No.
So why they figure they want to come down to my ranch, or let's just say our ranch, our former ranch, and sit their ass in my fucking chair? Do I look like an idiot?
No, because it's the most comfortable seat in the house.
When I went to your dad's house, I knew which one was his chair, and I had enough wherewithal and respect that I didn't sit my ass in his chair because I knew that was his spot.
I think my dad would leave dirty handkerchiefs in his chair just so people wouldn't sit in it.
No, but it's just about respect. You just don't do that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it was my idea to move back into the house.
But no, on the same line of thinking, we cannot find a normal, nice, sleek looking reclining sofa. They're all bulky and brown.
Well, we just want something that's kind of we do want brown. You just can't find a shade of brown that you want.
Right. They're just kind of a weird brown, I guess.
Hey, man, baby shit brown. That's the one I've been seeing. But I sent you a picture of one on the email, and I thought that was a pretty good looking couch. Big ass sumbitch is about 7 feet long, like our current couch is. And you thought it was ugly. I thought it was just a pretty good-looking couch. What was wrong with it?
I just didn't like it.
Well, goddamn. See, the thing about this, the stuff we got there right now is the stuff we moved over here to 317 Gimmick
Street. It's very old.
We moved it right back over there. We're on the same shit. It's a couch, it's a love seat, and a single chair. And it was from Ashley Furniture.
Yep.
And it's cloth.
Yep.
And ain't fancy.
And it stinks.
It's because it's been 10 years of dog sitting on it. But I don't think it stinks that bad. And the carpet guys came over and they, remember they steam cleaned it?
Yeah.
Okay, they steam cleaned it. But the thing about the furniture that's cool, for some reason, our dog Moolah loves to sit and lay on the top of the furniture.
Yeah.
And it's real wide. It's probably about a foot wide. And the problem is, you go into these stores these days and they got these sorry ass couches. It looked like something that you put in a lobby in a hotel. I mean, like a fancy hotel. And like, nobody sits on shit like that in their house.
No.
If they do, I mean, it's just for looks. Well, you sit on it, you're like, what the fuck? I mean, because the back is only about 2 feet high,
right,
and the seat is about 4 or 5 feet long, you'd be slouched over like just some kind of idiot. And so that's the kind of stuff that we see when we're rolling to all these different furniture stores. I'm like, what in the hell happened to being able to find a, just a good, solid piece of furniture?
Well, and the sofa,
am I fucked up?
The sofas that we do see, like you said, they're more loungy sofas. And so I don't know why you would want to sit on your couch with your friends in a lounge position when you're trying to watch TV or something like that, you know?
Hey, man, I want a comfortable seating position. I've been beat the fuck. My 14 years in the business of pro wrestling has made my body into a cattywampus state. Now, I'm pretty good for the most part, but when I sit my big ass down, I want to be comfortable. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the furniture we got. I'm cool with just leaving it over there. But here's the problem. If we're going to keep the old furniture and a brand new remodel house, then we got to get new furniture for 317 Gimmick Street.
For your man cave.
For my man cave. So if I do, it's just going to be a bunch of damn reclining shit.
Well, we slowly move back in and get our furniture, and it's just going to have to take time.
Well, here's the thing, man, because we would go in the office over there. That's where I normally used to podcast out
of. We have no...
Ain't got shit in there.
We gave everything away like idiots. Well, wait a minute. We put it all in the pod and then gave it away.
Well, we got a bunch of pictures leaning up against the wall, so now we got to hang all that shit. And two lights came in, the sconces. One goes on your side of the bed, one will go on my side of the bed.
I hope they look good.
And then that's it, right? Because other than that, the guys are coming over to put the stucco on the fireplace, and the hearth is in, or it was installed, whatever the fuck they did to it. But we're good to go, other than the sconces, and we're clean, right?
Well, we're still doing the window treatments, so that's another 2 weeks.
God damn. Boy, let me tell you something. Window treatments, shades, shutters, drapes, curtains. Is there another name I can use, Kristen? Tell me.
No.
Okay.
Well,
that's all.
The ready shades that we buy at Home Depot.
We've been using them for 10 goddamn years. So anyway, this high-powered interior designer we hired said, hey, man, we're going to put these kind of shades over here on the windows. And
you know, the paper ones that you just peel off the tape.
No. No, I'm talking about the ones that she picked out for us.
A little bit more expensive.
Well, I saw the price tag on them some bitches. I said, shit, I'm going to have to start doing about 5 podcasts a week. How in the flying hell can a window treatment, a window covering, cost so damn much? Now, look, see what I've done here?
Yeah, you have a towel.
Explain to the people what I've done over here at 317 Gimmick Street.
You've put a white towel against the windowsill to block whatever. There's no sun on this side of the house, but I guess this is for sound.
It is. You are correct. Good guess, Kristen. I made this into a professional podcast studio. There's no window treatment over this big-ass window. And so to help control the sound and the bounce of my voice, I have laid this towel on the table. I put my laptop computer on it. And then I opened this window, and I kind of shoved one edge of the towel in there, and I closed the window so it's secured. And it's almost like a professional recording studio. It looks like shit. Looks like a piece of white trash lives here, but goddamn, it's how I roll. So this is what I come up with. Do you think we could do that at 316?
I think foil would look better.
Hey, there was a time, check this out. One time I was living in Denton, Texas when I played for North Texas State University. Mean green. Goddamn, every Saturday we'd get up, put our football pads on, and go out there and get our asses whooped. We was 3-8 and 2-9. And I know they got a good program going on over there now. I think they're about to turn that thing around. And we was playing Division II ball back in the day, and now they're Division I. So the Mean Green Eagles, I think are going to be pretty mean this year. But going back to my story, hell, I was working on a freight dock. This is right before I decided to get into the business of pro wrestling. And I had to rent a house. And it was probably, shit, that house might have been 700 feet.
And I had two window unit air conditioners, and I fold in all the windows, shiny side out, so I could keep the damn sun from beating the shit out of me inside that house. I ain't got no money for no curtains. Don't need no curtains. There's one guy in a house by myself. And I had a microwave, I had a TV, I had two window unit air conditioners, and I had a Lazy Boy, and I had a plain couch and a bed, and that's all I had. I had one pot, one pan, a fork, a knife, a spoon, a sharp knife to cut shit with, and a grill. And I was the happiest motherfucker on planet Earth. That's all the shit I had. So you can make do with a foil on a window, Kristen. I proved it. And now all these years later, if I was at North Texas State in 86, 87, 96, 2000, that's 30 years ago. 30 goddamn years ago, I had tin foil on my windows.
But why would you put foil? I don't understand the concept behind that.
Man, in North Texas, it gets pretty damn hot. So, you know, the sun blazes through those windows because I didn't have any curtains.
Oh.
So you put the foil, just, you know, you can crimp it on there. And foil hangs pretty good. And it reflects the rays, the UVA, UVB rays out. And it makes it dark inside the house. So I just run
the
lights. Smart.
Yeah.
No, I just... When you're making about $400 a week on a freight dock, that's what you do. And that's what I did. So what else we got to do at this damn house?
We're doing the pool. Well, we're not doing the pool, but he's going to clean the tiles in the pool. He's had to put in a new heater in the pool because the heater broke. And the yard.
A controversial subject to bring up to you. We decided to drain our swimming pool the other day and put some fresh water in it. And
well, no, they had to acid wash it because it was... They recommend after 5 to 10 years that you drain your pool and acid wash it.
Well, I know. I felt kind of guilty about dumping that pool out, draining it, and then filling it back up. I mean, because it's like a big-ass bathtub. I mean, we got a little bitty-ass pool.
Right.
But when you've seen the water do what it has, the water supply, you know, without no rain, it's been a shit pile of rain in California this year and Texas, thank God.
But still, in our minds, we've been ingrained to save water and conserve water here, especially in L.A.
I never thought when I was a kid I'd be wondering about, hey, man, if we're going to run out of water or what the hell is going to happen? Because these days, you know, when you look at the Colorado River, splits off into, what, 5, 6, 7 states drawn out of that?
I have no idea.
Or Lake Mead, I mean, the stuff that we look at, or Lake Oroville, that dam that they're trying to fix before all the snow starts melting in the Sierras.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of bullshit going on. But for a while, California was in a drought. I think probably about 80% of it is non-drought now. It should be good. There's still some dry spots out there in Texas. All of our tanks dried up.
Right.
But my point is, it just felt bad wasting that water. But at least you said, hey, we had to acid wash it. And it, the guy, the pool guy, and it wasn't no work, he said about every 10 years you need to drain the damn water out of this thing. And that's the first time we've ever drained that goddamn water. So it might have been in there a couple of years before we got the house.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So we got some new fucking water.
How many? Does that mean you're going to go swimming?
Tell the people on the damn podcast how many times I've been in that swimming pool.
We've played volleyball in there once or twice.
We played volleyball in there
or
once
some
or
sort
twice.
Of little paddle ball, paddle tennis game. And you did, we played.
I've been in that swimming pool. We've lived in the house 10 years. I've been in that damn swimming pool 4 times, and 3 times were on purpose. One time I fell in, and ruined my goddamn iPhone.
Yeah,
I'm not a water person. No. I don't know how you can go a mile down the road out there on Venice Beach, or is it called Marina Del Rey Beach? Because we live in Marina Del Rey. There's a difference. Or when you go that way, do you turn into Venice?
Yes, it's Venice Beach down there, yeah.
Okay, you go down and lay by the damn ocean all day long.
Love it.
And then every now and then you go in the damn water and cool off.
Yeah.
And that's some dirty ass water.
Well, I don't much go in that water anymore because it is gross. When you got trash around your ankles when you're coming out of it.
Boy, you're looking good with your bright orange bikini and those seaweeds and trash hanging off your wheels.
Like baby diapers wrapped around your...
But I was talking to, remember Strongman, Steve Strong from the World Gym?
Yeah.
He used to tell me those guys would go out there, he would surf with them. And then they come back with sores on their face and hands and shit like that. I say, well, man, why do you get in that water if it's so goddamn dirty? Because when it rains...
the worst time to go.
Yeah, when it rains, all that shit just washes off the main streets of Venice and Marina Del Rey and all these RV people out here. Man,
They're not really RV people.
Well, you can't call them homeless because they got a home and it's an RV, but they just park on the side of the roads here.
Right.
And now it's against the law to stay in a certain spot for too long because what they do, man, they'll get in front of your house and they just live there. And you're like knocking on the door and they're like, come in. Can you move this motherfucker so I can park in front of my house? But every now and then, some of those people will pull their black plugs, their drain plugs, their sewage plug, which is black water. They'll pull their black water plugs and dump all
right
their shit
right on the city street.
Right on the city streets. And they wonder why they got so much heat with all the citizens that live over here. And I don't know for what reason. Well, I do know for what reason it is. Why they got to come to Marina Del Rey in Venice to hang out.
It's the place to be.
Why don't they go, fuck that, why don't they go out to the goddamn desert, to Mojave?
It's hot.
Yeah, because they're smart.
Yeah.
But it's just like, man, get the fuck out of here. And they're, I got no problem with people being in their campers, but when they're pulling their
black water, and
then all the water washes it down there, it's just a pain
in
the
neck. Well, it's a public nuisance, too, or it's a health problem, because, yeah.
Well, I'm glad that we got our swimming pool filled back up with water, but I was feeling a little guilty about that. Man, I tell you what, the thing about remodeling the house was when we redid the plumbing, the water pressure is a shitload better than it used to be.
Yeah,
that pool filled up damn near in one day.
It did.
And that shows how low of a pool we got. So I don't want to feel too guilty or people say, hey, goddamn it, Steve, I can't believe you filled up a whole swimming pool full of water. Hell, Chris and I would go so far.
We paid for it, though.
I know, but it's a water supply.
I know.
And I'm going to jump on you about this before I jump on Las Vegas. God damn, that bathtub you got in your bathroom is about as big as a swimming pool.
It's pretty big. I think she was thinking that we would both take a bath.
Homie don't like to lay down in a damn bathtub. I do good every time I go get in the shower. I take about 3-4 minute shower. I don't know how long it takes, but every time I come out in the living room and Chris will look at me, you already showered? What am I supposed to do? Just hang around in there, just soap it up and I start singing a tune.
Yeah.
God damn, I go in there and I got my scrubber, I scrub down, I put some damn soap all over my body and I wash it off and I get out.
And I enjoy standing under the water.
I know, but it's not just because I'm looking to save water, it's just because I got other things to do.
You're efficient.
No?
You're efficient.
No, I just ain't got time to just fuck around in the shower. Just standing in the water, I'm going to dry off and go do something.
But oddly enough, you have time to do other things that...
Like what?
Like looking at the computer for hours, reading about nutrition.
Every time I'm reading about nutrition, my wife has to come look, see what I'm reading. I'm reading about some fucking nutrition. Why does that chap your asshole about?
You're always reading a new diet or something.
Yeah, I like to read about nutrition. It's one of my favorite things to read about.
Okay.
I started a ketogenic eating program, so I'm trying to get that all dialed in. Man, when you drop out carbs and you're eating high fats and medium proteins, it's a real head fuck. I need to talk to an expert about a ketogenic diet.
I'm sure you'll get some emails.
Bell over at Super Training Gym talked me into it. I said, fuck, I'll give it a try.
I think it's the diet that you've enjoyed the most.
Well, the good thing is, man, I can get a T-bone and throw it on a grill and some real butter and put it on top and get away with it.
Yeah, and I don't eat meat, but I love the smell of bacon. When you cook that bacon in the morning, it just makes your house feel like a home because it smells so good.
You know, when you're used to eating, let's say, a quote-unquote clean diet, and you're eating egg whites and you're eating oatmeal with, like, a Splenda on top, and that's clean eating because you don't have room for those fats if you're eating high carbs.
Right.
Because your body's going to store some shit. And so if it's, I guess, in the ketogenic world, if you want it, your body to burn fat, you feed it fat and cut off the carbohydrate supply. Now, if you up your carbohydrate supply, then your body's going to prefer to burn the carbohydrates. And if you're mixing the fats in with those carbs, you're going to store the fats. So basically, through the ketogenic diet process, you make fat your fuel source, your free fatty acids. I'm reading all this. And
I guess you have been reading.
Yeah, I'm reading all this from Lyle McDonald, the ketogenic diet. I was reading it last night and fell asleep standing, sitting up in my bed.
Standing up.
What? I've done that before.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, but I like to read about nutrition and stuff like that. And then I was looking on the Lazy Boy website. Well, actually, we went out to one of their stores the other day.
Yes.
And
well, we were going to the fancy leather recliner Italian store, and then lo and behold, it was right next to a Lazy Boy. I thought, oh, no.
Man, I had to go in there and get my fix.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I think they've regressed a little bit. They didn't have the cool chair. We didn't look
very good either.
But they needed some bigger sofas with wider backs that Mula could get on top.
Yeah.
Because if they'd had one like that, we'd probably bought it.
You mean Lazy Boy?
Yeah.
Well, the fancy leather. I like the place that we went to, the Italian leather, but that took, 14 to 17 weeks to get a sofa?
Hey, man, here's the thing. We went over to Living Spaces the other day. Big-ass goddamn store. Got everything you can think of. And all of a sudden, we start looking around at the damn couches. And I'll be goddamn if they didn't have one that was big enough. I mean, a long one.
Right.
A couch. And then we was looking at the electronic reclining couches for a while. And we was in there for, damn near 2 hours.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Next time I go to Living Spaces, I'm going to take a canteen of water and a couple sandwiches. Fuck, I thought I was going to die. I walked around there so much, and that guy was taking so long, buzzers started following me.
Well, then we couldn't make any purchases because the computers were down or whatever. I don't know.
Goddamn, I go to stick my credit card. We bought a bed. We bought a king-size bed. I stick my credit card in that slot like you do these days. You don't just swipe it. These days, you stick
it's
in a slot. Stick it in that damn slot, and he goes, oh, man, it ain't working. We'll go to another station. We go to another station. He goes, oh, man, it ain't working. We're going to another station. I'm looking around for the fucking cameras. I'm thinking, this got to be a rib. This is a candy camera. Some shit's going on, so I'm just going to play it cool. I ain't gonna sell it. And so Kristen was smarter than me. She goes, I'm going to go over here and make some phone calls or sit down on a piece of furniture.
Yeah.
I followed this goddamn guy. He was a good dude, real good dude, or big wrestling fan, real nice people over there. And we went to a couple more machines, and then finally, they was going to waive the delivery fee.
Yes.
And they did, and that was real nice of them. But here was the catch. It took an hour to waive a delivery fee. I'm like, hey, motherfucker, if it will expedite the process, charge me double the delivery fee because I'm ready to eat some fucking dead fish, sushi, right now. Goddamn, I don't think we damn near made it to the sushi place. I was going to pull into the In-N-Out Burger to get a burger to hold me off to get to the sushi. That's how goddamn hungry I was. Motherfucker, buying furniture is hard.
It really is, and we're not very patient either.
Oh, that's the thing I was going to say. When we found the couch that we like,
it was too
small. It ain't in stock.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It ain't never in stock. They got a floor model that everybody done sat on and farted on and wiped their shit on and they're picking their nose and they put their hand on the armrest.
Well, not at Living Spaces. I think they had them in stock. It was the Italian place that took so long to you have to order it special.
But every other thing we've looked at, Kristen, ain't nobody got no shit in stock.
Yeah, right. You have to just.
And then you got to order it. And then you got to say, okay, what color you want? And then what color? Well, we like the, what's it called, Super Suede?
I think it's the Ultra Suede or Microfiber.
Microfiber, that's what it's called. Ain't no suede no more. It's microfiber. Yeah. That's the kind of shit we dig.
Yeah.
We don't really need a leather couch.
No, I think it'd be too slippery and the dogs would scratch it all up.
All right. Well, hell, enough about the furniture shit. We're on the old stuff right now. We'll be just fine. But, goddammit, I have Johnny Mundo coming over right here tonight, and we're going to talk about his new movie. So I need some shit for here, Kristen. Johnny's going to come over, and he's going to be in my new studio, and he's going to see all the soundproofing stuff. But I need some furniture from a studio, so we need to get it over there at 316, and I bring the old shit back here.
Yeah.
And I need my rugs down because my voice is bouncing a little bit
more than I'd
like it to. And I'm trying to talk real low on a microphone because I'm like DJ Jazzy Jeff over here. Please. I know what time it is. It was sound quality. So Johnny Mundo's coming, and he's going to be talking about his new movie on the Tuesday podcast, the Steve Austin Show family-friendly version this Tuesday. So stay tuned for Johnny Mundo. Kristen, let's talk about moving back into the house. Because we moved back in the house, all of a sudden we start plugging shit back in the kitchen. and the GFC outlets won't. They keep popping every time you put two outlets in there.
The GFC.
You put two, what do you call them, GCFs?
I forget,
ABC, GCF, GFC. GCI. You know those little buttons you push when you get...
GFI.
The GFI, God damn it.
Well, we're not electricians.
I got shocked real bad when I was a kid one time from sticking my finger in one of them little slots. And it turns out we was having a hard time pushing our plugs into those things. And you know, like when you stick a plug into an electrical outlet, one side is bigger than the other side. I guess that's a positive and a negative.
Or I don't know.
One's a ground, whatever. So I couldn't get the goddamn plug to go into the electric socket. So I'm thinking...
So we had to call the electricians
back. No, I figured I got it reversed. I turned the plug over, and it still wouldn't go in. Well, it turns out, after I pushed like a sumbitch, I mean, I damn near had to bench press the damn thing in there. And what did the electrician say?
Those are childproof.
God damn it, they're making a childproof electric socket that you can't even stick the plug in. I weigh 265 pounds. I'm 6'1", twisted steel and sex appeal. Used to be the toughest son of a bitch that ever stomped a mud hole and walked it dry in the history of the WWF, and I can't even push a goddamn plug into an electric socket. Thanks for making me look like a pussy, electrician. And then on top of that, an idiot. So finally I got everything plugged in.
Everything's working
And the fucking GFIs kept popping off.
Right.
I'm like, hey, we basically just got our house rewired, replumbed, re-roofed, rebuilt, and a goddamn electric's popping off.
Well, there just was a minor fix the next day. And the contractor did tell us we're going to discover things as we, you know, live in it that need attention. So that was one of them.
Goddamn attention. It got 7 months worth of attention. I want to move in. Give me a reclining couch or just a regular couch so I can sit my fat ass on and an ottoman to put my feet. That's all I want, Kristen.
We do have ottomans.
I still, before we move on, I want to take a commercial break here just for a second because I want to talk to you about some of our road trips lately. There's been some bullshit shenanigans out there on the highways and people are starting to really get on my nerve and talking about things that chap my ass. We're about to get there. But I just want to get the situation settled with this grass. Now, the guy was out there with a pickaxe. He got our whole lawn tore up, and he said we had a shitload of crabgrass.
Yes.
And he wants to till it up, not one day, but 2 days. So, we ought to just make a big-ass garden out there. Every time. We're looking for the Broken Skull Ranch again, right? We're looking for another ranch. I propose this. Our lot that we live on is 8,000 square feet. Our old ranch, the Broken Skull Ranch in South Texas, is 2,000 acres. Why don't we have an 8,000 square foot ranch and put a garden in that motherfucker?
You could put a little, you can ride your mule in the front yard.
I'll give you credit on that one. I can't even turn it around. I'll ride forward 20 yards to the fence, and I'll back up 20 yards to the fence. And I'll drive forward to the fence, and I'll
We could take the gates off, and you can go into the backyard with it. Oh, no,
hey,
you
wouldn't. Hey, man, here's a question for you. The other day, I saw someone riding a little buggy around. It's one of those electric buggies.
Yeah.
And so I wanna find out why I can't ride my Kawasaki mules on the streets of Los Angeles and get it street legal, because that buggy was about the same size as a Kawasaki mule. Just because it's electric, they got the license or the right or the license plate to be able to ride the streets, and I can't.
Well, it is California.
Boy, I tell you what, and that's why I'll always have a place in Texas. Sometimes this state pisses me off. Now, I love the weather, but some of the stuff that goes on around here is just absolute bullshit. Damn, if you can drive an electric car on a goddamn road, I ought to be able to drive my buggy. Now,
well, it's not an electric car. It was like a golf cart.
No,
or something.
It's electric.
Yeah.
Hello. Motherfucker electric. And with no motor on it, well, it was an electric motor. Anyway, shit, I'm going to take a break here, pause for a cause. I'm blowing off some steam. Like I said in the beginning of the podcast, this is where I spew all the bullshit that's going on in this brain of mine. I got some more shit coming your way. Coming right back with my wife, Kristen. We're at the studio at 317 Gimmick Street. Towels flying like a motherfucker. Voices bouncing like crazy. The worst podcast in the history of the fucking business. Coming right back with my lovely wife, Kristen. If you're in the market for a car, then you need to check out True Car. True Car gives you price and information you need to feel confident about your purchase. When you register with True Car, you'll see what other people in your local area paid for the car you want. And from there, you can connect with a local True Car certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. True Car shows you real pricing on actual inventory, so you see competitive pricing offered to you by True Car certified dealers for vehicles that are actually on their lots. And you'll also see all the dealer incentives before you get to the lot so you can feel confident about the price when you show up. True Car makes car buying easy, no matter if you're looking for a brand new or a used vehicle. And the stats don't lie. Over 3 million cars have been sold to True Car users by the True Car Certified Dealer Network. There are over 13,000 dealers in that network with some 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available. So do yourself a favor and go to True Car for your next car buying experience. True Car doesn't just make the process easier, it'll also save you some money. True Car users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Steve Austin. Steve Austin. Unleashed. Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome back to part two of the podcast. I'm sitting here. My wife is taking a pause for the cause herself, a little personal break. Hell, I hit the record button just because I had some more bullshit on my mind that I wanted to get off. Hopefully my voice ain't bouncing too much because I got this damn towel over here on this damn table. And I'll be goddamn. The guys over there doing manual labor in our front yard with pickaxe, pulling up all the sod, getting the dirt clods out of the crabgrass out of there. So they ain't using no blowers, machines, nothing like that. My neighbor over here to the other side of me, their yard people done been over there, caused a bunch of commotion, raised a bunch of noise while I hit the record button, and now, right in the middle of a break, there's some motherfucker out there with a blower. Kristen, they got to be behind us. Welcome back to the show.
Blowers everywhere.
Blowers everywhere. Sound like it's a gimmick house.
Yeah.
God damn it. Every Wednesday. And I always wait till Wednesday we record a podcast. I got to start. Well, Johnny Mundo's coming over tonight. We're going to record at 7:30. That's going to be cool. That's going to be my new recording hours. When the sun goes down.
There you go.
That way, you got a real chill atmosphere. Got the lights down. Got my neon clocks up. And then I ain't got no goddamn guys out there using blowers. But I'll guarantee you, here's what's going to happen. As soon as I start podcasting at night, motherfuckers will start using blowers and using the spotlight like a damn coal miner, because that's the way they'll extract their revenge. They'll find some way to fuck up or derail a global icon and a national treasure by running a spotlight in the dark. God damn it. I just had to screw the lid back on my microphone. I guess I've been carrying this microphone around for a couple of years now. I ain't never had to tighten this motherfucker down, so hopefully it sounds good. Kristen, what are you doing?
We should probably put these microphones through the laundry because you spit on them enough.
Well, that's why I always use this one. I get the same microphone every single time because the ones that I give to the guests, I don't know what they're doing with their hands. This one's always in my hands. I don't know what they're spitting and coughing and stuff. You know what? Speaking of coughing and spitting, I don't know what the hell is wrong with me. I woke up, I got a sore throat, my nose is running. One side is stopped up, and the other is running like a goddamn faucet. I ain't allergic to nothing. Either I got an allergy, and I don't know what it is, the pollution here in the streets of Los Angeles.
Maybe it's our new house.
No, I ain't allergic to
nothing. You're
going
to have to move over here
at 317. Okay, if you want me to move out of 316 over 317, I got this whole place to myself. You might be barking up the right tree. I might have to come over for some special visits, though. But
in the bathtub.
In the bathtub. I'm going to talk to the contractor and see if I can get you a high diving board put in there. That fucking bathtub is so damn deep. I'm going to get you a life jacket.
You know, I'm going to have to put the dogs out because Callie and Willa are starting to play again. And then they start playing, forget about it.
Hey, you can put them out there in the damn yard. They can play out in the damn yard.
They won't play. They'll probably stand at the door barking.
Well,
but
they'll
start try
scratching
it anyway.
On the door. Just throw them outside for a second. It ain't but 27 minutes till the end of this damn show. God damn it. But God damn it, I can't figure out what's wrong with me. I never get sick. Never.
Oh, that's not true. When you barely have a headache, you're crying to me, oh, I don't feel good.
Kristen.
And then you start diagnosing yourself on the internet.
Kristen, you're talking about the toughest son of a bitch to ever grace a WWE ring.
Yeah, but
Well, here's one thing. Now, if I do get an illness, and it's got to be on a pain factor 1 to 10, an 8 or higher, I'll start self-diagnosing myself.
Yes, you do. You get on those crazy websites, and then all of a sudden you're dying. So,
well, it's always worst-case scenario. I figure with the string of luck I had, you know, I might as well go worst-case scenario. So then when I go to the doctor, he's got good news.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to think of it.
That was my psychology. See, I'm ahead of you. I want to go to the doctor and get good news. God damn, Steve, there's something wrong with you. But it ain't this, right? No, it ain't that. Fuck, it's time to go have a fucking cocktail. Hey, one of the things that's been pissing me off is some of the shit we've been seeing coming back from a Thousand Oaks, California. Where's Thousand Oaks? Is it 40, 45 miles from us?
It's about 50 miles.
About 50 miles. It's down to 405, and then you hit the 101, and then you jump off air.
But it's not in Thousand Oaks. It's the travel to Thousand Oaks. That's frustrating.
Yeah, no, they're just giving our route.
Okay.
They're jumping at 405, and, you know, the 405 is pretty straightforward. What's it, about 4 or 5 lanes wide each direction?
Yeah, big freeway.
And 101, kind of same way. 101 starts getting a little twisty. A little bit different drivers out there. But anyway, goddamn, we was coming out. The Maserati drivers, Maseratis have been killing me lately. And how many people drive Maseratis? Well, lately, about 10 or 15 of these motherfuckers have been the biggest assholes I've ever seen in my life, cutting me off. The other day, there was a Maserati racing a goddamn Chevy Camaro, and they was traveling together because they had similar license plates. And they were like on everybody's ass. I was driving a pretty good clip, going about 75, 80, and they passed me like I was standing still. Get right up on a motherfucker, and you know, you got 15 feet distance between you and the car. Maybe their car's 14 feet long, and they just switch right in there and just cut everybody the fuck off. And it's been the Maserati drivers, and it's starting to chat my ass. I don't know what the deal is with it, because normally I'm all over the Priuses.
Right.
And in El Paso, it's always a gold-colored car. And now it's a Maserati. So why is everybody buying a Maserati is my question.
I don't know.
What's that, Italian?
Yeah, Italian, I think. I mean,
like
maybe
Joe Walsh.
Not
Joe Walsh sang in a song a long time ago, my Maserati does 185. He lost his license, and now he don't drive. I wish these motherfuckers that drive these Maseratis out here would lose their license because, Kristen, they could be close to ending someone's life.
Oh, I know. People don't get that.
And in saying that, when I'm looking at you right in the face, your husband, a global icon and a national treasure. I don't want to go out like, hey, man, goddamn, I heard old Steve got taken out. He went up to that big wrestling ring in the sky. Well, what got him? Oh, some dipshit driving a Maserati, flicked a cigarette out, hit him in the windshield, caused some discombobulation, and he veered off the side of the road and killed himself. I don't want to die in a fiery crash caused by a Maserati.
Better than a smart car.
Goddamn. Breath of air, rewind. Paul Lazenby will appreciate this story. We was working on a movie a long time ago in Canada, a shitty low-budget movie, and I had a day. It wasn't shitty. Well, it was technically. It was a low-budget movie, subjective. Hang on, someone just came to the house. Pause for the story. Well, here we are again. I'll be goddamned if someone didn't ring our doorbell and it was our contractor. The guy who's overseeing the work over 316 Gimmick Street with some good news.
We've only had good news on this house.
Before, you know, we go to the contractor story, the story I was going to tell about the movie in Vancouver was when I was walking the streets on day off and I stepped off a curb and a smart car damn near killed me. And that would have been an embarrassing way for a global icon and a national treasure to go out was to get killed by a smart car, because that would be a real dumb thing for me to do.
I think you would have caused more damage to the smart car than the car would have caused to you. So
here's the thing. I just had to level off here. I just kind of really hit a melting point. There's been so many clusterfucks with all the stuff that we got going on. And, you know, with my scratchy throat and sinuses and all this bullshit that I'm going through, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with me. I got to get on a computer and diagnose myself a little bit to get the good news from a doctor if I choose to go. My tone has changed because you were gone trying to solve the problem, and you're going to get to the problem in just a minute. But you were gone so long, and I'm sitting here with the battery running on this recorder with the button pressed. I'm sitting there thinking, man, goddamn, okay, where's she at? She got to be coming back soon because she knows we're right in the middle of the podcast, and I'm not actually interviewing her. We're talking together, so she's going to be back here pretty quick. And then you weren't back here pretty quick. So then I said, well, I just call her. And right when I'm dialing your number, I look right over by the backside of my laptop computer, and there's your telephone.
Forgot to take it.
And I always tell you, when we get separated, please have your phone so that we can get in touch with each other. Because a lot of times when we go to Home Depot and you get lost, you know.
No, you get lost.
I'm telling the story.
Okay.
A lot of times we go to Home Depot and then you get lost. I wonder where you are.
I'm usually at the cleaning supplies. When in doubt.
Goddamn, we always get sidetracked in Home Depot. I'm going to get one thing and she's going to get another, or I'll make a run to the restroom. Because goddamn, I mean, you know, when you go to Home Depot, that's a big-ass store.
Yeah, but the restroom's always the furthest point
always
from the entrance.
Way back, far right back-end corner from the cash registers. It's a long way back there. Take you a sandwich and a canteen of water. Follow the buzzards, as Bray Wyatt would say. Son of a bitch. So anyway.
Now my phone's ringing again.
Who is it? Are you going to answer the call?
I better answer this call. Okay, I think it's our pool guy.
All right. Your phone just rang. You took a phone call. I've been stopped and started so many times. I don't know where the shit or why my watch. So now what's going on?
I owe everyone a beer.
Yes, you do. Because you answered the phone call.
Yes, I did.
You were good because it didn't ring because you had it on silence.
Right.
But when you took the call...
I knew it was something house-related, so I knew we had to deal with it.
What in the flying fuck is going on now?
Well, the phone call or the contractor ringing the doorbell?
Let's go with the contractor ringing the doorbell, because that's when you was gone for almost an hour.
Well, we are trying to finish the fireplace today, and apparently the stucco people brought the wrong color. So now we have to put the fireplace off yet another day. So luckily, our contractor, being such a great person, noticed on the bag the wrong color that didn't match up with his record. So I'm glad he even noticed it, because we would have had a fireplace in the color of turquoise.
He'd walk around with a pamphlet in his hand and had the circle right there. It's just kind of gray-looking stuff.
Titanium.
Titanium. And then they brought the other color. So, yeah, damn good eye on him.
Because, yeah,
man, they'd been stuck on that sumbitch up. And we'd have walked over and like, what the fuck happened to the turquoise fireplace? And then we'd be our interior designer talking us down. No, turquoise is in style. Turquoise is in style. Mitch Hedberg.
Anyway, just one more fire to put out for the day.
God damn it. I was talking about them stupid drivers on the way out there at Thousand Oaks, and we was coming back from your mother's the other day, and you saw the damnedest thing we've seen in a long time.
It was
a doozy.
And it was a Prius driver, in fact. A Prius driver, a millennial, a hipster, whatever you want to call him these days.
Don't condemn the hipsters and millennials.
He was driving with his knees, cigarette in one hand, texting with two hands, and no hands on the wheel.
Dude driving with his knees, got his iPhone in his hand, he's texting, and he got a cigarette in the left hand.
With two hands, or he was texting with I've never seen two-hand texting.
I've never seen anything like it before in my life.
Yeah.
Well, that one time when I can't remember, I was doing the podcast back then, I was driving to Long Beach, maybe I was going to talk to C.T. Fletcher. Dude was reading the newspaper.
Oh, yeah. No,
dude was reading the newspaper.
We were going out to my mom's at the same time.
Oh, yeah. I met this guy.
It's the 101 freeway.
He wasn't even trying to kayfabe it. See, the thing about these people, they put the iPhones down there in the center console or down there in the lap, and you can see their eye line. You can see where they're looking. They ain't looking in the road, but this dude had a newspaper spread out over his whole fucking steering wheel.
On the freeway.
The 405. No, I was on the 101.
Yeah.
God damn it. I wanted to go over and
yank
my horn at him. Put it that way.
See, I usually honk my horn at texting people just to scare them a little bit. I probably shouldn't do that because then one's going to hit me. They overcorrect. But it just bothers me so much because every car you look at, somebody is texting and driving. Every car.
Well, Kristen, you were going to get on the computer and look up a statistic that was talking about the high rate of whatever happens when you text message.
Well, it's just as bad as drunk driving.
It's worse. It's the new drunk driving.
Yeah.
God damn it.
And they said, I was listening to the news coming back home, and they said this woman on, I think it was on La Cienega, which is a busy street, veered three lanes into another car because she was texting and driving. Didn't even faze her one bit. another lady, the CHP officer was talking about, was on her cell phone. He pulled up to her. She looked at him, still didn't hang up, so he finally just pulled her over and gave her a ticket. You're not supposed to have, well, in California,
yeah, hands-free.
Yeah, hands-free.
I got pulled over a couple of years ago. I was just using my speakerphone. I had my phone held out, didn't have it by my head. And sure enough, motorcycle company pulled me over bigger in Dallas, right there by the car wash on Lincoln. I pulled over, and he goes, man, you can't be talking on that phone. I said, you know, I thought you could talk on speakerphone. He goes, no, hands-free. And he gave me a ticket,
yep,
for sure. You've been with me a lot of times. I got out a few tickets. I was proud to take that ticket, so now I no longer talk on my phone. And I always got my headphone in.
See, I use Bluetooth, and I don't understand why most cars today have Bluetooth.
Well, the other day when I was getting all the cars shined up, that 2003 Ford Focus ain't got no Bluetooth.
Oh, that's true.
My 95 Ford Bronco ain't got no Bluetooth. That damn Range Rover, I don't know how to work a son of a bitch. My Chevy pickup, 2003 model, ain't got no Bluetooth. Now, you hearing what I'm saying?
Okay, gotcha.
And, you know, I can't hear no good anyway, so I like to use the headphones because it goes right into my brain. Now I got to hit the pause button because Callie's raising hell in there because she wants to eat. We're trying to wrap up his podcast. I'm coming right back with my wife. All right, I have to take a minute here to thank another fine sponsor of the Steve Austin Show, who also happens to be a close personal friend of mine and a member of the WWE Hall of Fame, Diamond Dallas Page. Y'all know what I'm going to say next. I'm going to tell you to get on a DDP yoga program. And I'm not telling you that because Dallas is a sponsor. I'm telling you that because it's a damn fine fitness program that will get you on a path to healthy living and keep you there. You heard me run down all the pro wrestlers doing DDP yoga. Everyone from Jake the Snake to Scott Hall to Chris Jericho to RVD to Mick Foley. Mick's the latest to join the program, and you know he's dropped over 100 pounds, and I'm sure that once he's recovered from his recent hip replacement surgery, he's going to be back to his DDP yoga workouts. And there's no better time than right now to give DDP yoga a try, especially since Dallas is giving y'all 20% off the DDP Yoga DVDs, the DDP Yoga Now app, and all DDP Yoga-related merch. Hats, T-shirts, heart monitors, mats, and more. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin. The DDP Yoga Now app gives you everything you need to achieve your health and fitness goals. DDP's got tons of workouts, nutrition tips, and recipes, a way to track your progress, and even offers motivation for those days that you need it most. The app also lets you access live workouts from the DDP Yoga Performance Center. And like I said, you get all that for 20% off by going to ddpyoga.com/Austin. So get on the DDP Yoga program today and change your life. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin. That's ddpyoga.com/Austin.
This is Steve Austin Unleashed.
Well, let's move on to a different direction. If you're out there driving, don't text on your phone. Keep your goddamn hands on the steering wheel and use a damn Bluetooth or a wireless headset or a wired headset like I wear. Kristen, let's shift gears here. I got a couple of emails I want to read on the show. I want you to stay here and take part in them.
All right.
This comes from, I got to give a military shout out. And this is, hey, Steve, recently myself and a couple of guys from my squadron went off station to California. I suggested we go to El Segundo Brewing Company and have a Broken Skull IPA since we don't have many chances to go to California. And I have to say it was the best damn IPA me and my buddies ever had. We liked it so much we brought some with us. We would appreciate a shout out to the men and women of the 314 AMXS from Little Rock Air Force Base in Arkansas. We were in California showcasing the C-130 and it was an absolute pleasure. Take care and swig a beer for us. Joe Gonzalez, shout out to the 314 AMXS dedicated crew chief and the Air Force Base in Arkansas. Appreciate you guys coming down to California, and thank you very much for the email. Here's another question from Devin in Ohio. He says, Steve, I'm a big fan of yours and the shows, and I was wondering what's the story behind the tattoo on your leg. When and where did you get it, and why did you stop at only one? Thanks for your time. Well, I'll tell you what, Devin, there's actually two tattoos on my left leg, and I'll tell you a story about how they happened. I've always been enamored with skulls. I just think they're cool looking, and I like them. So when I was about 23 years old, I was working on a freight dock in Dallas, Texas, at Watkins Motor Lines. Me and my good friend Rob Webb from College Station, Texas, got off our shift there at the Watkins Motor Lines and said, hey, man, let's go get a tattoo. I'd always wanted one, and I knew I'd get a skull. So we loaded up in the damn car. We used to carpool every day together. Drove down to some shithole tattoo parlor in Dallas, Texas, and I got a skull tattooed on the inside of my leg. Now, you're probably referring to the tattoo on the outside of my leg, and that's a state of Texas with a longhorn skull in it. So I actually had two tattoos, and the first one was done when I was 23. That Texas one was actually done right outside of Douglasville, Georgia, when I was living in the Atlanta area working for WCW, probably in about 94, 95, right before I got shit canned and moved back to Texas and then on to California. I love tattoos. I always like looking at good work. I stopped at two just because in the business that I was in, I just didn't know if a bunch of tattoos on me would be up my alley. Now, obviously, tattoos have worked great for a lot of people, man. Undertaker, Randy Orton, Batista, a lot of guys with a lot of ink. If you're watching UFC, man, everybody's got ink in the UFC these days. But it just wasn't the look that I was going for. Again, I love them. I love the work. But that's where I decided to start, and that's where I decided to stop. Kristen, how come you never got no tattoos?
I have no desire to have a tattoo.
Well, why not? I mean, don't you think you're badass? I mean, if you see some great art.
The artwork is, but I don't have any desire to have a needle on my skin painting colors on it. Just the thought of it is not, it's not for me. I've never wanted a tattoo.
Well, yeah, you're hot about it. Jesus.
I think skin is beautiful without tattoos. I don't know.
Next question. You know, Kristen, here's another question. I'm still getting a lot of questions and comments about the Broken Skull Ranch, and this comes from a guy named Alan Young. He listened to the podcast, and he really enjoyed the podcast, me talking about my story of leaving that place. And he says, P.S., I'm an avid hunter, and I can't lie that I didn't get a little choked up listening to you at the end of that podcast. I've been a listener from day one, and some of my favorite episodes are with you and Teddy from the ranch. I've been out on our property for over 20 years hunting and have a ton of memories with my father, who passed away a few years ago. I know I'll shed a tear when the time comes when we can no longer lease it. Hearing you get choked up a little made me think about our memories of our place, and it got to me too. God dang, Alan, I tell you what, I got so many good memories of that place and hunting with my dad and all my brothers and my sister, my mom coming out there. It was a great place, but it just got to be too far away. And now that we've been here, Kristen, it's gone about a month, month and a half, 2 months that we sold the ranch. I was at a loss there initially. I think the cloud has lifted over me. I think I'm over it. I want to find a new place. Have you had any parting thoughts or a sense of a burden relieved? Because here's the thing. I did all the manual labor outside with Ted Fowler 361. You maintain all the interior stuff, and you're the one that paid all the bills, whether it's fuel, protein, electricity, DirecTV, this, that, telephone line. And so you had a shit pile of things to do. So that was a burden. Obviously, you're probably glad to be rid of that, but do you miss the ranch?
I miss having the opportunity to be out there and enjoy the outdoors and, be in the middle of nowhere, but It's a relief because we don't have to pay all the bills. It's like one less job for me, basically. So, yeah, I mean, I'll miss it. Right now I'm not missing it. And I know we talked about wanting to take some vacations, and I'm looking forward to that. And, we'll find something else to fill that void.
Man, the thing I miss most is just either driving my Broncos or driving my mules out there, riding along, and just seeing everything.
Yeah.
And the way we would rig it, When we was taking our little ride on the mules in the evening, if we wasn't hunting, I would be driving. Mula sits beside me, and she puts her feet on my right thigh, and I put an arm around her and hold her. Chris is riding shotgun. Hershey rides in the back seat, and she just lays down, or she sits on the edge of that seat, and that was kind of how we rolled. And Callie didn't get a chance to experience that. So Callie ain't never been to the Broken Skull Ranch. She's got to find another place for her. But, man, just having a whole family on there and just riding around, when you get all the work done, it's all fun and games. But, man, when you get behind and it's that first roll around and you're riding around like, God damn, there's a shitload of stuff that we got to do. And it's
overwhelming because you don't know where to start.
Well, it is, because the last time when I went down there to get my pickup truck and my utility trailer, I met the owners out there. And I started riding around. I did a lap on a mule, and Man, that grass was over there in the southeast corner was already about 3 foot tall on that road because there's been so much rain. I was riding through those weeds, and I was thinking, man, they better get on this shit.
Yep.
Get on that tractor and start putting hours in, 15-foot batwing shredder. And mowing's fun for a little bit, but when you're just mowing day after day after day to get that sumbitch low and mean like I liked it, it's just a lot of work. So for me, I was like, when I closed that gate for the last time and looked back down that road, I was like, man, are we doing the right thing?
But, you know, we've been so busy here trying to move back into our house and combine our ranch property stuff here and our house next door and move the pod and move the furniture and declutter. I mean, we still have so much stuff to do. I really haven't had much time to think about it, honestly.
Well, and that's true. And we still have some chest of drawers and shit like that in our front driveway.
Yeah, and we have a blanket. We have two chest of drawers. We have, it's pretty...
Well, we're downsizing from a big-ass ranch to this property here in Los Angeles,
right.
So it's going to take some time to do it. And the other day, you were stressing out about it. I said, hey, man, just chill out. I said, I know we want to get this thing organized and get it behind us, but you just can't.
I just like to put a period on everything. I don't like things to be undone. I just want it complete.
I'm okay with a shitload of stuff in the garage, but when you got stuff in your driveway... Yeah, it's time to put that shit up.
We've got
a door on it.
Two sheds full of stuff that we don't use. And I keep telling you, can we please clean the sheds out? Well, what are we going to do with this stuff?
Well, that's the thing. Now that I got a pickup truck, I can put the stuff in, but you got to drive like 30 miles to go to the landfill here in Los Angeles. And when you go, you weigh in. You go dump your shit off in a designated area of whatever you're carrying because they all got different spots for it. Then you weigh out. Then you get charged by the pound for what you drop off. And I understand paying for what you drop off. It's just a pain in the ass to get to the junkyard here in Los Angeles.
Well, and some of the stuff's not junk. That's the problem. Like, you don't want to keep your bike anymore because you don't really ride
Goddamn, I built a hell of a damn mountain bike. Well, I didn't build it myself. I bought a mountain bike, put all the bells and whistles on it. This sumbitch is badass.
Yeah,
it's like a top-dollar machine. And fuck, I ain't gonna ride that sumbitch around no more.
And why aren't we gonna do that?
Well, I might get clipped by a car.
A person texting and driving, that's why I won't get on my bike. That's the exact reason why I don't ride my bike anymore.
Well, see, really?
Yeah.
Man, and see, when we bought those bikes, and you got a badass one too, I thought we was gonna ride the shit out of them.
We did.
Well, that one time we was riding over on Rose Avenue, and we was coming down that hill, and you said I made you have a wreck.
Well, because I was trying to wear those clip-on cleat thingies, because I was doing spinning at the time, and I couldn't get my feet out of the clippy things to put the brakes on, and I just about killed myself.
You just in one fell swoop, when you were coming to a stop, and you couldn't get unclipped, and you just fell over on your side.
And I slid down the hill.
And back...
Of course, it was your fault, too.
Yeah. And back then, I mean, I was scared for you. I was like, all of a sudden, you're blaming me. Like, how the fuck was it my fault that you're clipped in, couldn't put your leg out to come to a standstill, and you lay on your side all scraped up?
I don't know how people ride bikes with those clip-on shoes, whatever they are.
Oh, man, it's cool when you get in the groove, because I had some, too. I mean, I got so good at it, I was thinking about riding the Tour de France. Shit, put me on a bunch of gas. I went to Tour de France just like anybody else can. Well, Kristen, I'm sorry to say this, but I am going to wrap this podcast up. I'm going to do a close. I'm going to send this to Stacy over to 90210. Stacy, I have hit the pause button on so many occasions on this podcast. I apologize, but that's the clusterfuck that's been going on in my life. When Lillian Garcia came over here the other day for do her podcast, I said, Lillian, I'm slammed. I'm busy as hell. I said, but I've got to do your podcast because I told you I would. But there's so many more things we got coming up and a lot of shit I can't talk about. But it's just busy. It's good busy. I'm not sitting here complaining about it. But
between contractors at the house all day, the dogs, and now I have got Callie sleeping on my lap.
Oh, we had them locked out, and then Callie started crying, so then we let them in, and then Hershey goes gets a gallon water jug out of the damn trash can.
That was the last interruption.
Yeah, that was the last interruption, and then your phone's going off, then you disappear, and then you ain't got your phone. I try to call your phone, and it's right there by me. I said, well, she can't answer that.
Your poor listeners.
Yeah, and what a clusterfuck. Babe, I appreciate you guys sticking with me. Johnny Mundo coming up this Tuesday. We're going to talk about his new movie he's got coming out. I'm fixing to watch that thing, and he's going to be my guest Tuesday. And then Thursday, I believe Ted Fowler 361 is going to make a return to the podcast, Ted Fowler 361, probably on Thursday. And I want to break down that, what is it, UFC 210? I want to talk about UFC. I think that's the right number. But nonetheless, Kristen, no social media to report. I am Steve Austin, BSR, on Twitter and Instagram. Coming right back to close this show down.
My name is Raven, professional wrestling superstar, raconteur extraordinaire, and other adjectives. Or is it adverbs? Anyway, join me and a motley assortment of friends, enemies, ne'er-do-wells, and know-nothings as we banter about all kinds of nonsense every Monday here at the Jericho Network on Podcast One. Download and listen to the show on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts. Quote to Raven, nevermore.
Steve Austin. Steve Austin. Unleashed.
All right, everybody, give me the go-home cue. It's time to wrap up this podcast and ride off into the sunset. And as you can tell, there's a lot of shit out here in L.A. that's fucked up, and a lot of shit over here at my crib that's fucked up and needs to get fixed, and we're working on it. Jumped off in the middle of a discussion with my illustrious wife, Kristen. Kristen, thank you for putting up with my sorry ass, and thank you for joining me on the podcast. Pleasure talking to you. Hey, quick shout out. I want to send a big thank you to everybody who sent me an email to my email address, questions@steveaustinshow.com, and on my Twitter account, SteveAustinBSR, for the comments on the Shane McMahon interview. God damn, I had a blast talking to Shane, and I appreciate all the feedback that you've given me. It's been a long time coming. Again, I was supposed to talk to Shane back in Baltimore. I had that rotator cuff surgery and didn't get a chance to talk with him live and in living color on the WWE Network. But he came out of here to 316 Gimmick Street, and we laid the goddamn shit down on the table and started recording and had a really, really good time. I have known Shane McMahon for a long time. It was good to catch up with him and then hit the pause button and talk a little kayfabe bullshit and then go across the street. And I ate a T-bone steak and drank a couple of glasses of whiskey while I talked to Shane a little bit on the DL. Great time seeing him. Thank you very much for your feedback. Appreciate you listening to the show. Couple plugs I got for you. Shit, if you're looking for some badass T-shirts, I got them over at ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Austin. All the shit I wore last season on Broken Skull Challenge. Hell, all the goddamn seasons. Hell, if you're thirsty, you can't find another IPA as good as a Broken Skull IPA at El Segundo Brewing Company. Hey, that's my favorite. If you got your favorite, that's good for you. But try this one out. I think you might dig it. Hey, man, you can also get Broken Skull IPA at Whole Foods and Total Wines if you live in California. And if you ain't in Cali, check out InsideTheCellar.com to see if they ship to your state. And you can find everything Steve Austin related at BrokenSkullRanch.com. And that includes the Cold Steel Broken Skull Knife and the Cold Steel Working Man's Knife, a collaboration between the two of us. Anyway, I got to say one more thank you to all the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show. That's how I'm able to do this podcast for you twice a week for free. And you can find all my sponsors at PodcastOne.com. Just click on the Killer Deals button on the top of the page and then click on the Steve Austin Show banner. Hey, folks, keep listening. The 60-second AP News headlines are coming up next. Until then, my name is Steve Austin. I'm kicking this cold's ass, and I will catch your ass down the road.
Download new episodes of Steve Austin Unleashed every Thursday at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.